Our scripture text this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, is from the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61, I'll be reading verses 1 through 7. Isaiah chapter 61, as we consider a messianic prophecy hundreds of years before the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. Hear the word of the Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd their flocks, and foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance, and so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be upon their heads. Heroes and superheroes. Superheroes are known for super extraordinary powers, cool looking costumes, and secret identities. For example, extraordinary powers like Superman could fly faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a streaming locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane.
It's a cross.
That's a what? Sorry, I missed that, Nelson. It's Superman. Spider-Man spun webs. X-Men have mutant powers. Batman, at least he told the Flash, when the Flash asked him, "So, what are your superpowers?" He said, "I'm rich." He had stuff. Yet all superpowers, superheroes, have one thing in common. They all showed up in the nick of time to protect the weak, to rescue the helpless, to save people in their distress, and defeat the bad guys. But remember, comic book heroes like those in the Marvel Universe and the DC comic Justice Leagues are all make-believe, all fiction and fantasy. But we have a real, live, superhero, Jesus, the amazing Emmanuel. That's the theme for our Advent series during this time, to consider the greatest hero of all time, the greatest superhero for all people, Emmanuel, God with us. His mission was to protect the weak, to help the helpless, to save the hapless, and to bring hope to the hopeless. A few knew it from the beginning, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary, Simeon and Anna. Jesus has come to save, to be the Savior for all. He came especially to bring good news for the poor, healing for the hurting, comfort for the broken in spirit, freedom for the oppressed and the imprisoned, release to those in bondage, to bring the year of Jubilee. This morning I want to think about this theme of Christ's coming, Emmanuel, for the helpless, the hopeless, and the hapless. Before Christ's birth, even before Caesar Augustus or Quirinius was governor in Syria or Herod was king in Judea, before Mary and Joseph, the prophets foretold the coming of the Savior. In Isaiah 7, 13 and 14, the prophet said, "This will be a sign to you. A virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." Later in that prophecy, in Isaiah 9, we hear the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. To those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And he shall reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness forever. The prophets foretold it before Christ was even born. The angels announced it to Joseph. "Don't worry, Joseph. The child is conceived by the Holy Spirit to be born in her. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." In Luke, we hear Gabriel and his words to Mary, "Likewise, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God." Even before Christ was born, the announcement came to the shepherds. "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy," the angel announced. "A Savior has been born to you today in the town of David. He is Christ, the Lord." Before Christ was born, prophets foretold it, angels announced it, and the Father preordained it, going even further back, before the foundations of all of creation, in Ephesians chapter 1, where you read God's purposeful intent for the incarnation, not spontaneous, impulsive, reactionary decisions on God's part. We read, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his children through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to each of us through the one he loves." To the praise of his glorious grace, God's intent, even before we needed a Savior, even before we even existed, God loved us, knew our need. God planned, purposed, prepared and provided meaning and purpose for our lives, salvation from sins, our sins deserving, the hope of eternal life, redemption for each of those who would believe. You see, Jesus was on a mission, a rescue mission. Before he was born, before we were born, he had a mission. And even before Christ's earthly ministry, he knew his mission. Even before Christ began his earthly mission, he knew that he would be about his Father's business. And he knew his mission. Jesus, in his local synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, we read in Luke 4, beginning with verse 16, the account of how Jesus went up to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. See if this sounds familiar. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news of the poor." The anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, to preach good news to the poor. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You see, it was not by chance that Christ was born in a manger rather than in a palace. It was not by chance that Christ was born the son of a carpenter, not as a prince to a king in Jerusalem or in Rome. Jesus was the Savior for the people, of the people, and by God. Let me say that again. Jesus is a Savior for the people, of the people, and by the Lord himself. He knew his ministry and his mission. He understood his calling. His whole life and ministry was identified with the weak and the oppressed. See his heart for the poor and the powerless. See his love for the helpless and hopeless. He came and fed the hungry, gave drink to the thirsty, welcomed the stranger, clothed the naked, visiting comfort to the sick and the imprisoned, and he said, "For as much as you do it to the least of these, my brothers, you do it to me." He identified with the hurting. The opposite of scrinch, you know who scrinch is, right? I just found out about it in a Hallmark movie this week. Scrinch is a combination of Scrooge and the Grinch. Scrinch. What? Well, anyhow, go with me on this. The opposite of a combination of Scrooge and the Grinch with their predisposition for no Christmas, no peace on earth, no goodwill towards men. The humbug of Scrooge and the poppycock of the Grinch. You remember how, when confronted, Scrooge responded to the statement, "Many thousands are in want of common necessities. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comfort, sir." And Scrooge said, you remember, "Are there no prisons? And are there no workhouses? If they would rather die, they had better do it. and decrease the surplus population. No, Jesus came to speak to his need, for he came to seek and to save those who were lost. His rescue mission in ministry is to rescue the needy, our Savior, our hero, to come and save souls, representing truth and justice and the way of the Lord Almighty, the amazing Emmanuel, God with us. I've been reading this week in my devotions, a book of classic sermons on the birth of Christ, compiled by Warren Wiersbe, such great preachers of past generations like C.H. Spurgeon or D.L. Moody, C.W. Morgan, and I read a sermon by George W. Truett, pastor for 45 years of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, from 1897 to 1944. In this classic sermon, it's kind of like George Bailey, what if I was never born kind of question. What if Christ has not come? What if Christ had not come? If Christ had not come, we would not have the stories recorded in the scriptures of his sympathy for the distressed and the distraught and the suffering of all ages and classes and conditions of humanity. We would have no story of his pity and compassion for the leper, the blind, for the ignorant, for the bereaved, for the brokenhearted, for the poor. God sent Christ to preach good tidings to the poor, counting that as the supreme thing. The blind received their sight, lepers were cleansed, the dead were raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Here is one champion for every poor man and woman in the world. He is not unforgetting, unfailing, but all sufficient. And he is Christ. We would know nothing about God's care for the poor if he had not come. If he would have not come, we would never have heard the story of his grace and delivering mercy on behalf of those and these distressed and unfortunate groups among us. If he had not come, before Christ was even born, before Christ began his ministry, he knew his mission. And before Christ ascended, he confirmed our commission. His calling was conferred upon us as his followers, as his disciples from the first day until 2020. Jesus told his disciples, therefore go and make disciples, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. In John chapter 20, before he was ascended, right after he was raised, we read the words that on the evening of the first day of the week, that first Easter evening, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And after this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. And the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and received the Holy Spirit. Jesus confirmed our commission, empowered us with the presence and power of his Holy Spirit, and he confirmed our calling. In the words of Jesus' half-brother James, we read in James chapter 1, distilling the Christian calling with these words, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's the essence of true Christian religion. The scriptures say, Jesus confirmed our commission, He confirmed our calling, and He promised our heavenly commendation. As we read in Matthew chapter 25, the commendation for which we long from the words of Jesus. The king shall say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. But the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? But when we see you sick or in prison, we go to visit you when? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whenever you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Just before that, hear the words of Christ's commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness. We long to hear those words of commendation. You see, the bottom line, Jesus, Emmanuel, wasn't here for himself. And neither are we. The church is the only institution on earth that exists for those that have not yet come into its midst. Jesus wasn't here for himself, and neither are we. What better time to help the needy and the weak than at Christmas? 2020, a COVID Christmas? People sequestered and alone, isolated and lonely. People out of work, businesses struggling, perhaps being shut down again, still more layoffs to come. People in fear and anxiety because of pandemic uncertainties. What better time to care and to help than 2020? What better time to help the hurting and the hopeless than at Christmas? A time when hearts are open to give. Christmas, a time when there's so much opportunity to give. A time when there's so much need to give and to care and to share. How shall we hope? How shall we help? I would encourage you to think, you've got 2 weeks before Christmas, perhaps deliberately, intentionally, at least once a week, make a deliberate and intentional attempt to show kindness to the hurting. Do you know someone who's discouraged, grieving, having a blue Christmas? Write an encouraging note. Send a Christmas card with a note attached. Emmanuel, God is with you. Do you know someone who is lonely and alone? Give them a phone call. God loves them, and so do we. Do you know someone who needs Jesus? Tell them the reason for the season. Tell them to tune in to our services online that they may hear the good news. Many of you are already doing it. Shoeboxes through Operation Christmas Child. Collections for Lexington House. Food items for the food pantry. Mission teams going out for Cypress mission team, this Christmas, all of us can be on a mission, a rescue mission. We close with the example of the words of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Remember Mother Teresa? She said when she was still living at a national prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C., she told the story about one night we went out and we picked up four people on the street. One of them was in the most terrible condition. I put her in bed, and there was such a beautiful smile on her face. She took hold of my hand, Teresa says, as she said two words only, "Thank you." Then she died. I could not help but examine my conscience, and I asked, what would I say if I were in her place? My answer was very simple. I would have tried to draw a little attention to myself. I would have said, I am hungry, I am dying, I am in pain, or something. But she gave me much more. She gave me her grateful love, and she died with a smile on her face. We don't need to be on the streets of Calcutta. There are plenty of those who are hurting and dying here in our communities. Plenty of people that need the Lord. We need, in this special time, to help the helpless, to bring strength to the hapless, to bring hope to the hopeless. Just look around you. God wants to use you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Emmanuel, for your plan and purpose to show your great love for the world, for each one of us, by sending your one and only Son, that whoever might believe in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Give us hearts of compassion. Give us hearts of mercy, hearts of love and direction to live that life out as Christ has called us. As a church, as individuals, lead us forward that we might be faithful in serving you, serving one another, and serving a broken world. In Jesus' name, amen.